Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Beis. We're going to begin from the words Meisvei, about 9 lines down from the top of the Samach Beis and with Aleph. We continue to learn for the safety of all those in Eretz Yisrael. The Chayalim should be safe. They should all be healthy. Those who need a Refuah Shleimah should have one. The Chatufim should be brought back, Bimheira, and there should be Shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, in yesterday's year, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar held that ribis cannot be returned by Beis Din if it's ribis the Rabbanon. But if it was ribis the Araisa, then Beis Din has the power to force the person to give back the ribis. If it was ribis kitsutsa, it was a set amount of ribis. For example, he said, I'm lending you $100, expect to get back 120. So then in that situation, Beis Din would be able to force that return of that extra 20 that he took. However, Rabbi Yochanan said, I agree with you, certainly, in the case of ribis the Rabbanon, just like you, you can't have the Beis Din return it. But even by ribis the Araisa, Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't return the money. Beis Din doesn't have the power to force the person to return the money. And now we're going to question of Yochanan Shita. Meisvei, again, 9 lines from the top, Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The Brisa says, he niach lohem aviyem mo saribis. If a person died and he left in his Yerusha, he left to his children money, and that money was ribis money. So it says, Ava pishi yodim shen saribis, even though the children know that this is ribis money. The father got this money through ill-gotten ribis. Einon chayovim lachzirin. The children do not have a chiv to return it. Now that implies that while the children don't have an obligation to return it, the implication is ho'avin chayiv lahasir and kasha and Rav Yochanan. It seems from the way that this is written in the Braisa, only the children don't have the obligation, but the father, who would have, if he had been alive, would have had the obligation, and Beis Din could have forced him to go and return that money. So that's exactly like Rabbi Elazar. We're talking about ribis d'oraisa, and Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, Beis Din has the power to make the person return it. And Rabbi Yochanan, who says Beis Din doesn't have the power by ribis d'oraisa, seems to be going against this Braisa. So he says, no. Bidinhu diavu hanami lo mechayev lahasir. In fact, your implication is wrong. While the children have no obligation to return this, the father likewise would not have had an obligation to return this. But I did the koboy lemis de sefer, but the sefer, this brisa, teaches us a din of the children, which is, he niach lem aviyim poro vitalis v'chol davar mesuyam chayev lahasir nekvot aviyim. But the sefer, this brisa says, if the father had left the children a cow or a garment of some sort that was well known and recognized that had been taken as ribis, and therefore, in that situation, people would be constantly saying, hey, look at that. The children had that. That was ribis from the father. That was ribis from the father. And als kovod aviyem, there's an obligation for the children to return it. So that's why it said in the Reisha, Toni Nami Reisha, Bidya too. It was talking in the Reisha that the children don't have the requirement to return the money. But not that the father would have had the requirement to return the money. According to Rav Yochanan, the Beis Din can't force the father to return the money either. And the only reason it mentioned over here that the children don't have to return the money is not to say, well, the father would have had to return it. It is no. Well, the children don't have to return the money. If it was a Dover HaMesuyim, it was something that was well known and recognized that this was ribis that the father had got. As Rashi says, Shenikahu Shehehu ribis. The Aviyim, that should be Girsa Ribis, not Gozel. Shinika Shu Ribis, Vaviyim Niskar Bolakol. And everybody's going to say, hey, look at that cow. Yeah, that was a Ribis cow that they got the father. And the father's going to constantly be mentioned in a negative way. So there, the children should return it. But not because there's a din that the Beis Din can force the children or the father to go and return Ribis money. Exactly like Rabbi Yochanan says. Ah, Gemara says, Vahani Nechor Aviyim Mim Chayve. If this is the Chavar Aviyam, so then why should the children have to do this? After all, Kri Khan, we should learn from here, the Pasuk tells us in Mishpatim, the Nasib Yamcha, Lo Sa'ar, that in fact, you only have to go when it's Amcha, when it's your person who's acting in a Yiddish Erlich way, then you're not allowed to go and curse them. Implication being, Biosi Maisi Amcha, only then do these dinam apply. But if the father was doing something wrong, and therefore he's not deserving of honor, he's not v'nasi b'yamcha, so then, guess what? The children don't have to honor the father. So here, if the father, in fact, took this ribis money, he's not acting like an erlich yid, and therefore the children have no obligation to go and be chayovin lahachsim b'nei kovet aviyim. This only applies if it was ma'isei amcha, and the father, Nebuch, was not acting in ma'isei amcha. So Moses says, no. Even here, the father's acting k'maisa amcha, because you know what we're talking about? K'dam Rapinchas b'shmei the Rava. Like Rapinchas said the name of Rava. What did Rapinchas say in the name of Rava? That we're dealing here, b'sha also tshuva, that the father did tshuva. Now that was a separate case, which is discussed elsewhere. Tomorrow in Chagiga, daf chavov amir aleph, and there it's the girsa, according to some, Rav Pinchas said in the name of Rav, although some change that to Rav there as well, that we're dealing there with Kishas Tshuva. This was talking about HaGanovim Shenitlis Usoch HaBayis. If Ganovim came into a house, we say, Eino Tomei Elamokum Drisus Ragli HaGanovim, that only where they actually walked is their Tumah, but every place else it's not Tomei. And we're dealing here, Rav Pinchas said in the name of Rav, or Rav, Kishas Tshuva. And therefore, so too over here in our Gemara, we're dealing with Kishas Tshuva, that the father did Tshuva. And therefore, the children now have an obligation to go and give cover to the father and return the item that was Mesuyim, that people would then make fun of for the father. Say, oh, look at the children, they inherited that ribbis from their father. It was a specific item. Someone says, wait a second, what's he doing in his possession if he did tshuva? He also tshuva, my boy Gabe. So why didn't the father return it? So the Gemara says, because he didn't have a chance to. He was doing tshuva on his deathbed, let's say. Shalom his speak, lahachsi rachibes. So on his death, but he realizes what's going on, and he says, I'm going back to Shemayim, and I'm going to have to go face a Kodesh Baruch, and I'm sorry I did these things. And he tells his family, you know, this is ribbis, this is that, this is this, and he's trying to put all of his affairs in order, but Nebuch, he couldn't actually go and return the item itself before he passed away. So in this situation, he did tshuva, so the children have an obligation not to dishonor their father. In this situation, it's called Maisei Amcha. They still question Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara says, Maisei, we have another brayse that says, HaGazlonim Umalve Ribis, implying that it's two separate things. A gazlan, person who steals openly, and Malve Ribis, people that go and charge Ribis, Afopi, Shigavu Magzirin, even though they actually took this thing, the gazlan took the Geneva, and the Malavi Ribis took the interest, so it says, even though they took it, Magzirin, they have to go and give it back. In other words, Beis can force them to give it back. In other words, Rav Yochanan is wrong, Rav Elazar is right. So Gemara says, wait a second, what are we talking about? How do you understand this brisa? It says, Gazlonim, Afalbi Shigavu Machzirim. What are you talking about, Gazlonim? My Afalbi Shigavu Iko. What do you mean that they collected it? Govu means that they collected it. If it's something that they stole, Igozu, Gozu. It's not that they collected it, they stole it. And if they didn't yet steal it, Ilo Gozu, so then, Gazlonim, Karislu, why would you call him a Gazlon? So again, this brisa doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, therefore, Eleima, what the brisa is really is a description. It's not two things. It's HaGazlonim. What type of Gazlonim are we talking about? Malve Ribis. Eleima, these Gazlonim, my Nihu, Malve Ribis. And these people that took Ribis are the Gazlonim that they're talking about. So Afalpi Shigavu, even though they took, in fact, this Ribis, Machzirin, we can force them to go take it back. Oh, now we understand the question. This is a direct contradiction to what Rav Yochanan said. The Braisa says, Beferish, that people who took Ribis, the Beisa can force them to give it back. Like Rebbe Lozer, Kashon Rav Yochanan. So what says, you're right. This brisa cannot go according to Rav Yochanan, but Rav Yochanan says, I have another Tana that agrees with me. So the Tana of this brisa certainly holds like Rebbe Lozer, but I have another Tana that agrees with me because Tanoihi, this is actually a machlokis Tanoim, Rav Yochanan and Rebbe Lozer's Amoraic machlokis is actually a machlokis Tanoim. Where do we see this? The Tanya. We learn in the following brisa. The brisa says as follows. Rav Nechemya v'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov potrin es hamalva v'es ha'orev. Rashi says, what does it mean, poaching this malva and this orev? Min lo sasei umalkis. That if this malva and this orev, this guarantor of the loan, were involved in a ribis deal, so then they won't get malkis for being over the lo sasei of taking ribis or guaranteeing ribis. Why is that? Because with me, sheyesh b'hem kum asei. Because this is a lav hanitakli asei. You can go and correct it. And any lav hanitakli asei is not chayev in malkus. Because here they can correct it. And what is this kum asei? My kum asei? Lav bishum darinin. Isn't it because we say, darinin luhu kumu ahaduru. Go and give back the ribis that you received. So the malva who got this ribis, or the arev, and this is talking about, the Mepharshim explained, an arev, who's called an Arev Kablam, that meant that the person who is lending the money can go collect directly from this Arev, called an Arev Kablam, rather than having to go collect it from the money from the person that he gave it to. So in this situation, both this Arev Kablam and the person who received the ribis, each of them can go and give back the ribis money. And therefore, they have a kumasei. Go and return the ribis. And therefore, it's a lafani takli asay, and therefore, it wouldn't be chayav malchus. That is the opinion of Nechemya and Relezim and Yaakov, who say, poltrin is a malvi es orev, as opposed to the unnamed Tanakama of this brisa, who says, no, they are chayav in this situation for ribis. They would get malchus. So, miklal, that implication is that the Tanakama of Nechemya and Relezim and Yaakov, sovra, lav b'nei adurininu, that you can't go and force them to return it. In other words, this Tanakama would be like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov, they would in fact be like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. This is the Machlokes Tanaim, and that's how Rabbi Yochanan would answer up how the other Braitza doesn't go like him, because that other Braitza is the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov. But he holds like the Tanakama of this Braitza that you can't go and force the ribbis to be returned. Mara says, however, lav davka lo. You can't necessarily say this is machlokas tanoim, because maybe my kum ase over here isn't that you have to return the ribbits, like we just explained. No, it means likroa shtara, that they had the ability to go and rip up the shtar before any ribbits was actually received by them. They should have said, hey, we did something wrong. We shouldn't have written into the shtar, I'll give you 100, and you're going to give me back 120. So then they rip up the shtar, and that's the kum ase. But if the money was actually taken, so in fact, everybody holds, like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, both Tanoim in this brisa as well. Certainly the other brisa would say that once the money is actually given, then you can go and get it back in a beis din. Where says, wait a second, really? Mike Sova, are you telling me, Ik Sova Shtara Omed Ligavos Kigovri Domui? If you're telling me here that it was just to rip up the shtar, and if you hold that once a shtar is written up, it's considered that it's already collected, so then, Vaha Avdu Isurayu. So then, it's as if they actually collected the ribbits. So why then would Rav Nechemiah and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov say that they're potter from the punishment? They did the Isser. And there's no way to correct it, because we said the only way to correct it was Likroa Shtara. And if you say that, no, a shtar that was given over, we don't view it as if it's already collected, so then the ribbis wasn't actually done. So then nothing was yet done. So then why would anybody be chayiv? Never mind the lova and the arev. Nobody should be chayiv in this situation because no issa was yet done. Someone says, no. This shtar is not considered as already collected. And therefore, no issa was already done according to everybody. Then, what's the Braisa teaching us? And it's teaching us the Summa, just the placing of this interest into the document, Milsi, that is considered significant. As Rashi says, Hilkoch, Malve v'arev nami mitchiloson chayovim. Why? Mishum Summa, because they just placed it into the document. Just the placement into the document is enough to be over the Isser, and that is why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Nechemiah say that they're going to be exempt from a punishment in this situation because they can rip up the shtar. And that's why they don't get malchus. But according to the Tanakama, just the placing it into the document, even if it's never collected, is an isser, and that's why the Tanakama would say you get malchus. And it makes sense to say this. Because we have in the Mishnah that we're going to learn next week, Mitz Hashem, on Daf Ayin Hey Omud Beis, where it tells us over there, the Elu over and below Sase, the following people in regards to an interest-bearing loan are all going to be over a low Sase. This includes the Malve, Hamalve, the one who's lending the money, Valove, the one who's paying the interest, Ha'arev, the one who guarantees his contract, and even Va'edim that sign on this document that it is an interest-bearing loan. Now, we understand Bishlamo Kulu, meaning the Malve, the Love, and the Arev, Avud Maisa, they're all doing something. The Malve is getting the interest, the Love is paying the interest, and the Arev is guaranteeing that if the loan doesn't come through, he will pay the interest. El Adam, my Ovid, what did the poor Adam do? They just witnessed this. They didn't do anything. Oh, mustn't it be? El Allah Shmamino, Disuma, just the placing it into the document is an Isser. Oh, the Summa Milsi, and that's why this Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey says that they're over a lo sase just by witnessing it, because the placement of an interest-bearing loan in a document in and of itself is an isser. Oh, kamash v'lan, suma milsa hi. Shmamina, that is a good riot. Okay, now we introduce a new idea from Rav Safra. Amar Rav Safra, Rav Safra tells us, Kol she'ilu b'dinei motziim milove l'malve, b'dineinu marzirin mimalve l'love. Now, let's understand this carefully. We spend almost the rest of the shiur discussing this din of Rav Safra. So Rav Safra tells us that any time by the Goyish courts, it is considered ribbis, that in the Goyish courts, they enforce ribbis. So if Ruvain lend Shimon $100, and the document says that Shimon has to pay him back $120. So in this situation, the Goyish courts will enforce that, and they'll force Shimon to pay back $120. So kol she'ilu b'dineim in the Goyish courts, mosiim milove l'malva, they will force the love Shimon to go pay back the malva the ribbis. So then, in our courts, b'dineinu machzirin mimalva l'lova. So then we will, in fact, require the Malveh Reuven to give back the $20 extra, the ribbis that he got from Shimon. So it's pumfaket what they do in the Geisha courts. The Geisha courts enforce the ribbis payment. They make Shimon pay $120 to Reuven, whereas in the Yiddish courts, if that would be the din, in the Geisha courts, the Yiddish courts force Reuven to give back the ribbis, the extra $20, to give it back to Shimon. Now, Rashi points out, this clearly holds like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that we just brought down, that says that by ribbis deraisa, if it's ribbis kitsutsa, so then the basin has the power to force it back. So Rav Safra is telling us, when does the basin have the right to say that this is ribbis ktsutsa, and that they can force the person who got the interest, the malva, to go give it back to the lova who paid the interest? Reuven, the malva, is forced by our basin to give back the extra 20 he got from Shimon the lova. That's in a case, Rav Safra tells us, whereby the goyim, they would enforce that law and make Shimon pay the 120, the extra 20 of interest, to Reuven, who only lent him 100. So that's Rav Safra's in. One last time, let's see it inside. Rav Safra tells us, Kol she'ilu b'dinei emotziyem milo ve'le'malve, in the Geisha courts, where they would enforce the ribbis payment, the 100 that Reuven lent to Shimon, they would enforce that Shimon has to go pay him back 120. So then, by us, in a similar case, we would have the power, like Rabbi Loza said, the basin is mechuyev to give back the ribbis that Reuven took. So our basin would say to Reuven, you got 120 for that loan of 100, give back the 20. However, kol she'ilu b'dineim ein motziyim milo v'lamava. By the Geisha courts, it wouldn't be an enforceable ribbis type of a situation. Then, by our courts, b'dineinu ein machzirin mimava l'vo, then we wouldn't force it. This would be ribbis d'rabbanan, essentially. And this ribbis d'rabbanan, as Rabbi Lazar pointed out, and certainly Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar said, by ribbis d'rabbanan, we don't force the base that doesn't force Reuven to give back the extra money to Shimon. So what this statement of Rav Safra is telling us is, if it's enforceable in the Geisha courts that this is ribbis, so then in the Jewish court, we would force the ribbis to be given back. But if it's not enforceable in the Geisha court, i.e. it's ribbis d'rabbanan, so then in the Yiddish court, you wouldn't force them to give back this ribbis. Now, that's Rav Safra's rule, and the Gemara is going to question this before we come to the final understanding of Rav Safra's rule. Under what circumstances does it apply? So first off, we say, Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, really? Rav Safra is a general rule, uklolahu, it's always true, with no exceptions. If the Geisha courts enforce it, then the Yiddish court will force that ribbis to go back. Is that really true? What about Vari Saw Bisaw? If Reuven gave Shimon a saw's worth of produce, he is not allowed to go get back at a later point in time a saw's worth of that produce. So if you theoretically lent a loaf of bread to your neighbor, a week later, 2 weeks later, you can't get back a loaf of bread. Now, we all do this all the time. I can borrow a cup of sugar, you borrow a cup of sugar. So lemaisa, there are terutzim as to why this is allowed, because essentially we're giving it over freely. We're not giving it as a loan. If I lend you a cup of sugar today, you're going to lend me a box of a coffee tomorrow, and then I'm going to lend you some tinfoil the next day. So by us, it's really a gift. It's not really considered, okay, I lend you this loaf of bread, you give me back a loaf of bread. If they do give you back a loaf of bread, it's considered a present. You gave them a present, and they gave back a present. That's lemaisa. How neighbors are allowed to go lend each other things, because saw b'saw is not allowed. But it's only not allowed me the Rabbanan. So that's what Abaye is now asking Rav Yosef. Bari saw b'saw, if I give you a saw's worth of produce, you're not allowed to go give me back a saw's worth of produce later on. Dibidinehem, wait a second, motziyin milo v'lamalva. If a guy gave over, let's say, a saw's worth of produce, Reuven gave over a saw's worth of produce to Shimon, so in their courts, they would force Shimon to go and return that saw's worth of produce to Reuven. But in our courts, this is Rabbanan over the Neinu, Ein Machzir Mimal V'Lover. If this was done, Reuven lent a saw of something to Shimon, and Shimon gave that saw back to him, we wouldn't force Reuven to give back that saw. So here, this seems to go against Rav Safra's rule. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef answers Abaye, no, it doesn't go against Rav Safra's rule, because this case of saw b'saw in their courts, inhu b'soras pikadon osul yode. When Reuven gave Shimon, let's say, this loaf of bread, this saw worth of produce, so then it was a pikadon. And even though he's not getting back the exact same saw's worth pikadon, if it was the same exact thing, then it would really be a pikadon. Here, it's not getting back the same thing, but they, in their secular courts, view this as a pikadon, and therefore Shimon has to give it back in their secular courts as a pikadon, but not as a sort of loan. It's considered a pikadon, and even though it's not the same exact thing, they give it back as a pikadon, which is different than ribbis. And that's why Rav Yosef says this isn't the problem. This doesn't negate Rav Safra's rule. As Rashi says, inu b'toras pikadon osu liyode, so by the secular courts, inu ki megabu saw b'saw, when they force Shimon to give back the saw, So in that situation, lab b'toris ribis kol megavu. They're not giving it back as ribis. It was worth originally $100. Now the prices went up. He's giving back $110. It's not ribis. It's less lay ribis. Elo b'toras pikadon hu beineyam. It's as if it was the exact same thing, even though it wasn't. Da saw Marcel Obiodo, he gave him 100 of this item. He gave him a saw's worth of this item. So Rav Safra only said if it was ribis, then if it, they can give it, and they enforce the ribis in the secular courts, so then we would enforce giving it back in our courts, that's when it's ribis. But this case of saw b'saw is a pikadon. Tosus answered this in the bottom Tosus, and he says, we're going to learn this in tomorrow's shir. Rashi over there on Samach Gimel Omid Beis tells us, mi kodcho chitin be'achluvoy. Who caused these chitim get burnt up over there in the storehouse? Kimo kain hayisi shomron b'bayis. So it's as if this pikadon was in his possession and he was watching it for him. So even though it's a different pikadon, but it's as if it's in your possession still, and therefore it's not considered a loan. Okay, so that's what Rav Yosef answers. Inu b'toras pikadon also yodei. So this is not a contradiction to Rav Safra's rule. Try again. Only Ravina Ravashi. Here, Ravina is the one that asked Ravashi. He says, wait a second. Mari mashkanta below nichiyotso. If you have what's called a mashkanta. A mashkanta is, let's say, Ruvain lends Shimon $1,000. And Shimon gives as a collateral a field. Now, that field, Ruvain is going to use that field, and each year he gets $100 of produce from that field. So after 10 years, this is what's called mashkanta desura. After 10 years, the loan is paid up because he doesn't have a right to get the produce and get his loan back. So in our terminology, we call this mashkanta desura, that if you lend somebody $1,000 and they gave you a field in return and you're using the field and you get $100 each year from the field, after 10 years, the loan is paid up. But by the goyim, this is called a ribis arrangement. And fahari mashkanta below nechiyosa, they don't deduct $100 each year. Ruvain lend Shimon $1,000. Shimon gave Ruvain a vineyard or gave him a field, and it produces $100 a year. By the Goyim, Ruvain's allowed to keep that $100. And this is called below Nichiyasi. He doesn't deduct $100 each year from the price of the loan of the $1,000. So by the Goyim, Mishkanta below Nichiyasa, de bidineim motziim ilov lamava. At the end of this 10-year period of time, so they would say, hey, you still owe him $1,000, and you got to go and give him the $1,000. Or each year they would say that he's entitled to go take the $100 of produce. And if, in fact, Shimon kept that $100 of produce from that field, the secular courts would take it from Shimon and give it to Reuven. So if Shimon kept the $100 of produce from the field, the secular courts would take that $100 of produce from Shimon and give it to Reuven, because this is mashkanta below nechiyasa. However, we turn to Salaf Beis, Omud Beis, by us, we would not go and take this money from Shimon and give it to Reuven. We do not hold like this. So this goes against Rav Safra's rule. So how would Rav Ashi answer Ravina? He says, no. Inu b'torah zavine also l'didayu. No, because they would view this as a two-stage process. When Reuven lends Shimon $1,000 and Shimon gave this field as collateral, it's now Reuven's field. It's as if Reuven purchased the field. And when Shimon wants to go and pay back the loan, it's as if he's buying this field back from Reuven for the $1,000. So Reuven actually owns this field, and it's not considered ribis according to them. This is his field that made $100. It's like, I bought this field from you 10 years ago, and you've been using it for 10 years, and now I buy it back. I'm not entitled to get all the produce during all those years. That's why the secular courts would say that Reuven is considered like he owns the field, and that's why if Shimon takes the produce from the field, it really now belongs to Reuven, and the secular courts will give it back to Reuven. And therefore, this is an astira to Rav Safra's din. No, then when does Rav Safra's din apply? Elo, koshi, lubidinayim, de kama Rav Safra, my oslashmina. So when exactly does this rule of Rav Safra apply? He says, by the secular courts, if they would force the ribbis to be paid, Shimon has to pay the ribbis to Reuven, then we would go and force Reuven to give back this ribbis. Under what circumstances Is that going to occur? So Gemara says, "Hachi osel leshmina." It's coming to teach us. Kol she'ilu b'dineihem motziim milo v'lemalve. In any situation where their basin would force Shimon to go and pay that ribbis to Reuven, so then b'dineinu machzirim milo v'lemalve. Then we would force Reuven to give back that ribbis to Shimon. Umayniu? What's that talking about? Ribbis Kitzutza Uchid Rabbi Elazar. This is exactly telling us the din of Ribbis Kitzutza. When Reuven lends Shimon $100 and it says he has to get back $120. So that's what the loan document says. That's Ribbis Kitzutza. It's spelled out in the document how much ribbis there is. So then let a secular court say enforce the ribbis document. And therefore Shimon would have to pay the $120 to Reuven. So then in that situation, we would force Reuven to give back the ribbis according to Rabbi Elazar. And that's what Rav Safra is teaching us. And what is the scenario of when we don't apply that? Kol she'ilu b'dineihem ein motziim b'dineinu ein machzirin. And what is the situation whereby the secular courts, they don't enforce it, and therefore, by us, we wouldn't force it. That would be ribbis d'rabbanan, that we wouldn't force Reuven to give back that ribbis that he took from Shimon, because it's only ribbis d'rabbanan. So that would apply in the cases of ribbis mukdemes and ribbis mucheres. Rashi explains to us, we're going to learn this also on daf ayin hey when we get there. And essentially, what this is talking about is ribbis that is mukdemes. It's going to be paid in advance. That's when Reuven is giving a loan to Shimon. And in order to secure that loan, Shimon had previously given Reuven money. He said, listen, I'm going to someday want a line of credit for you. So I'm giving you $100 now to get into good favor with you. And ultimately, you're going to give me a loan. This essentially is, I'm paying you now that you'll eventually give me a loan. So this is called ribbis mukdemes. Now, technically right now, he's not getting anything for this. So it's not ribbis deraisa because it's not spelled out. You're going to give me a loan of $100 because I'm giving you this extra $20 right now. But he's giving the $20 right now. Eventually, he'll get a loan for $100 and he'll pay it back $100. That's called ribbis mukdemes. That's only midrabbanan. Likewise, ribbis mucheres is when Reuven gave Shimon $100. Shimon gave back the $100 to Reuven. And then he throws in, he sends him a beautiful present as well. So this is called ribbis midrabbanan. You're not allowed to say really thank you. We'll learn later on the Gemara. You have to be very careful when you say thank you. Even a thank you could sometimes be, if it's too much, if it's excessive, could be something that is ribbis d'rabbanan. So certainly, if he lent you $100 and you pay back $100 and then you send them a beautiful fruit platter, you send them a beautiful candy basket, so then that would be ribbis mi'ucheres, which is ribbis d'rabbanan, and therefore in the secular courts that can't be enforced, that you have to go pay that. So too in our courts we don't force you, it's only ribbis d'rabbanan for Reuven to give that back to Shimon. Again, to be erlich, to be right, he shouldn't accept it. However, again, there are circumstances where such a gift is not considered significant and is considered something that's normal social intercourse and is allowed, and we'll learn this later on in Mitzvah Shem. Okay, now we go back to quote the Mishnah, and I will understand the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah was the ribbis d'rabbanan case, where Kate said, what was the scenario? Lo kachemenu chitim b'dinar zohav hakur. Reuven had given over a dinar zohav, which is 25 silver dinarim, so he gave the money to Shimon to get the kur's worth of, let's say, wheat. And then, v'chein hashar v'chulei. What happened? So the rest of the Mishnah said, so he didn't get the wheat yet, and the wheat went up in price. And now, the person owes him this kor's worth of wheat, but the kor's worth of wheat is actually now worth 30 silver dinarim. It went up from 25 to 30, but that's not ribbis, because he paid for it right now, because the wheat was available at that point in time, even though he didn't have it, but the shar was set, and therefore, it's not considered ribbis. But now, he's owed this kor's worth of wheat, which has the value of 30 silver dinarim, and Reuven wants to get the wheat now, this kor's worth of wheat, which is worth 30 silver dinarim, so he can go purchase wine. When Shimon hears this, he says, hey, I would be happy to give you the wine that's worth 30 silver dinarim instead of the kor's worth of wheat. However, he doesn't have the wine in his possession at this point in time, and as we pointed out, the shar hasn't been set, so he doesn't have it, and the prices aren't set, and this, we said, is ribbis d'rabbanan if he were to go and do this. That's how we explain the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to discuss, is this explanation really correct? So Gemara says, v'chi ein lo yayin may have it. What difference does it make if Shimon has wine or doesn't have wine? Now, the Gersa that we have is Vatanya, but it says on the side, it really should be v'hatnan, because this is a Mishnah, at least according to many, that we're going to have on ayin beis omud beis. And it says over there, ein poskin ala peiros. You're not allowed to go and pay money right now for peiros in the future, unless Achiyetz Yashar, unless the price is set. If the price is set, it's considered as if you're getting it right now, because Yotza Shar, if the price is set, Poskin, you can do this, because even if the person that you're buying it from doesn't physically have it in his possession, since the price is set, you can get it someplace else, and therefore it's considered as if you got it right now, and then if the prices go up, it's not even Ribbis Durabonin. Now, there it says that he doesn't have to have it, even as long as somebody else has it, as long as the price is set. So why is this ribbis in our situation? Why do we say, v'chi ein lo, my havi, what difference does it make if he doesn't have it? Aren't the prices set? So I'm a rabbi, right? But it's telling us, no. Masnisin, v'bal locho, bidmeyin askinan. In the Mishnah, we're talking about that Shimon never gave any money or any wheat to Reuven. And that's why it makes a difference whether the wine is present or not. Even if there is a shar, because even if there is a shar, it's not considered as if he got something because it's only a debt over here. Masisim b'bal locho bidmein askinan. So where it says, and this is based upon the following b'risa, b'chadetanya. It says in the b'risa, ha'rishoya noshe b'chaver omana. If in fact Reuven has a claim of omana against Shimon. So Shimon owes him omana. V'holach v'yomar al-gorno. And Reuven goes to Shimon's storehouse, his gored, his otsar, and he says to Omer, give me ten lima osai, give me my money that you owe me, this mana, this 25 slaim. A mana is a 100 zuz, which is, a dinar is a zuz, so it's 4 dinar for a seller, which is the equivalent of 25 slaim, just as we'll need this later on, this information. And he says, give me ten lima osai, give me either my 100 zuz slash my 25 slaim, shani rotsa li kach b'mchit, because I want to go and buy wheat. And amalo, so Shimon says, hey, I got wheat. I will give you the wheat. So go and see what the current price is, and I will give you wheat the rest of the year at this price. And I will give you wheat to go see what the price is right now, and I'll give you wheat the rest of the year at this price. And this way you'll get your mana that I owe you. So this is awesome. Why? The price says, the lav ki isaro haboli yodu domi, because this is not the case where the money was actually coming to his hands now. This was a debt that was owed. If the money came to his hand right now, so then this would be allowed. But since it's only a debt, therefore, you can't go and do this. This is called ribis midrabanan. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. That's how Rabbah explains our Mishnah. Abai doesn't like this. Only Abai. Abai says, e de lo ki sara ba liyado. If you're telling me that there's a difference in this case where there's a debt, as opposed to if the coins actually come into his hand, so then my ear yelo, then what difference does it make if he has it or not? Afilu yeshu nami. If this is, even if he has the wine, this wouldn't be allowed according to you. So Abaye slugs up Rabbah. And therefore, Abaye explains the Mishnah as follows. Elohim Abaye, and Abaye gives a somewhat unique understanding of the Mishnah, which we're eventually going to slug up, even though what Abaye is saying is right. Abaye is going to basically say in the Mishnah is talking about a harama, something that looks like ribbis, technically is not ribbis, and because it's mechzuk ribbis, it looks like ribbis, that's why it's not allowed. Elo am Abaye. Abaye explains our Mishnah as follows. Masnisin ki detani Rav Safra biribis debei Rabbi Chia. Our Mishnah is in accord with the opinion of Rav Safra as was taught in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Chia. And what was that? Detani Rav Safra biribis debei Rabbi Chia. Rav Safra had learned over this brisa that they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Chia the following. Yesh devarim shei mutarim. There are some things which are min ha-Torah and even midi rabbanon, not considered ribis, but the rabbis came along and prohibited because it looks like ribbis, mechzik ribbis, basurin mipnei haromas ribbis. It's not even making ribbis derabanan. It's certainly not ribbis deraisa. And yet the rabbis forbade you to do this because it looks like ribbis. What is an example of this? Ketzad. Abaye says that Rav Safra explained in this space medrash of Rav Chia's braisa the following. The case is, Amar lo haveni mona. Reuven said to Shimon, lend me a mona. A mona is 100 zuzim, 100 dinarim, which is 25 slaim. Now, on my low, Shimon said, sorry, I don't got that much cash. Mana ainli. I'd love to help you out, but I don't have a mana. I don't have 100 zuzim, i.e. 25 slaim. But I got wheat. Chitim b'mana yeshli. I got 100 zuz, 100 dinarim. Zuz and dinar are the same thing, worth of wheat. In other words, I have 25 slaim worth of wheat. Again, 4 dinar in a seller. So if you have 100 dinar, that's 25 seller. So I'm more than happy to give you the chitim, the value of this money. And I will give it to you. and Nosan Lochitim b'mana, and he gave them the wheat in the value of this mana. Now, Reuven now has this wheat, and Shimon says, "V'chazar ulekachon heimenu b'esrim v'yabah se'alah." And then Shimon bought it back from him for 24 sloim. It was worth 25 sloim when Shimon gave it to Reuven, but Shimon actually needs cash, and Shimon says, "Listen, I need cash right now. I just gave you 25 sloim's worth of wheat. I'll buy it back from you for 24 sloim cash." And this is technically permitted, Mutter, because this was two different sales. First, there was a sale from Shimon to Reuven, and he gave him 25 worth of sloim, worth of wheat. And now, a separate sale, he's buying it back for 24. So these are two seemingly unrelated sales. And while he gave him 25, he's now getting back 24. That looks like ribis. Therefore, merse keribis. It's mutter on a pure ribis level, but the rabbis forbade it. The osalasus came bipnei haramas ribis, because it looks like ribis. After all, Reuven got 25 when he only gave 24. So it looks like because he gave the 24 to Shimon as a loan, he got 25. That looks like ribis, even though it was two separate sales. Now, Hochanami, Abaye says, our Mishnah is the same thing. Kegon. Our Mishnah is, the Omar, Haveni Shloshim Dinarim. Reuven said to Shimon, lend me 30 dinarim. And Amale Shimon said, Shloshim Dinarim, I don't have 30 dinarim, but Chitim, I have wheat that is worth Bishloshim Dinarim Yeshli, Shani Notzin L'cha. So Shimon gives 30 dinarim's worth of wheat to Reuven. Now, Notzin Lo Chitim Bishloshim Dinarim. He gave this wheat to him. Then, he went and bought them back for 25. A dinar zav is 25 silver dinarim. So in this situation, this dinar zav is 25 silver dinarim, but he gave him 30 silver dinarim of wheat. So what happened is Shimon gave 30 to Reuven, and he's only getting back 25, because it's as if he got a loan of 25, but he paid 30 for it. Now, it was technically two separate deals. He gave him 30, that was one deal. He now bought it back for 25, that's a separate deal. So, me, the Rabbanan even, there is no Isser over here, except that the rabbi said, also lasos came mipnei haromas ribis. And therefore, that's how Abai explains the Mishnah. And I'll show you this is right from the following understanding. Because, if in fact, the person who's borrowing has the wine, if Shimon has the wine, diyov lebi shloshim dinar, and he actually gave him the wine for the 30 dinar, so then, peirahu dekoshokum inei v'leslan ba, then he's actually giving it over to him, and there is no problem. But v'ilo, if he doesn't have the wine, so kivan the les lechamer, since he doesn't have the wine, vadai mishkal zuze minei mechzek ribis, then it actually looks like ribis. It's not really ribis, it just looks like ribis. Oh, that's Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah. But we have a lot of problems with Abaye. Amalei Rava says, if what you're saying is right, then the wording of our Mishnah is all wrong. Ihachi, instead of tein lichiti, instead of Reuven saying to Shimon, give me the wheat, he should have said, demei chitai mibole, give me the value of my wheat. So Abaye says, okay, fine. Tenei demei chiti. Right, put it in the value of the wheat. Rava still says, it said, shani mochwen, that I'm going to sell to you the wheat to go and buy the wine. It should have said, Shemechartim Luchomi Boile. It should have said that I already sold it to you. Because according to Abaye, he already gave him the value of the wheat. So Gemara says, Abaye will say, fine. Tini, read our Mishnah as Shemechartim Luchom. Fine. Still, Rabbi persists and he says, Harei Chitecho Asuyos Olai Bishloshim Dinarim. Mishnah said that we're assuming that the wheat has the value of the 30 dinarim that you owe me. But here, Meikara, Nami Hochi Ukimnu Ilave. This is exactly the way it was from the beginning, according to Abaye. So Abaye would say, no, Hochi Kamale, this is what Shimon is saying to Reuven, Bidmei Chitecho Shosis Olai Bishloshim Dinar, Harei Lecho Etzli Bohen Yain. Oh, the Yain Ein Lo, but he doesn't have the wine. So Rava still says, no, that's still not good. V'ha Bidinar Zohav Hakor V'chein Asher Ketani. That's, according to you, Abaye, that's not what it said. You're saying that the deal was that the wheat was worth 25 silver dinar, one golden dinar, and that was the shar. So according to Abaye, it wasn't a golden dinar, it wasn't 25 silver slime, it was 30 silver slime. What is going on? So Rava says, your pshat Abaye is incorrect. Well, it may be true that midi rabbanan, we are saying that Mechsei Karibis is no good, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, but that can't be the understanding of a Mishnah, Rava says. And therefore, Elo Amar Rava. And Rava therefore says, the way, right way to understand the Mishnah is the following. And he says, Rava is now telling us that when he passes away, Kisha Chivna, when I go and die, Rabbi Oshaya Nofak Levosi. Rabbi Oshaya is going to come out from Shemayim and go escort me up to Shemayim. And we turn to Samachim Laman Aleph. Why is that? Because the Tamaritzna Masniyosin Kavosi. Because I explained the Mishnah the way Rabbi Oshaya learned it. As Rashi says, Shani Rogel Taritz Mishnayos. I am want to go and explain the Mishnayos that Rebbe was sasam like this brisa of Rav Oshaya. And we'll see this tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. We'll stop over here. The Tani Rav Oshaya, we'll pick this up right over here tomorrow. Rav Oshaya's understanding over here of the Mishnayos. Rav Oshaya and Ruchia were the main redactors of brisos, and therefore, this is the right way to go understand our Mishnah. The Tani Rav Oshaya, which we'll learn tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.